You guys have your Bibles, you can start turning to 1 John chapter 4. We're moving along through our study in the series through the book of 1 John. We're getting close to the end of 1 John, and we'll be looking at 2 and 3 John in the weeks following that. And last week, we were talking about false teachers and the need to be on guard. We were talking about how it's absolutely important that we run everything through Holy Spirit. That God's desire is for us to have a relationship with Him. And one of the ways He does that is through Holy Spirit. He wants us to recognize Him and confirm what He is already trying to tell us. We also talked about how we can't trust everything we hear because there's other spirits out there and not everything is of God. But God has some key indicators that follow those who believe and are of God. His children. The main theme through this whole book, I hope you've been seeing it, is the love that God has for us. The love that God is known for. The love that His disciples are known for. And John continues this theme of love here where we pick up this morning in verse 12. No one has seen God at any time if we love one another. God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. It's kind of interesting how John starts out this passage, this paragraph, where he says that no one has ever seen God at any time. And we can't see God in his fullness. You know, Moses himself even had not actually seen God in all his fullness, even though he desired to. He wanted to see his glory. In Exodus 33, starting verse 18, and he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you into the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses spent a lot of time with God on the mountain. Moses purposed to spend that time communing with God, having conversations with Him, and he desired to see Him even more. But he couldn't see Him in the physical. He had that intimate relationship with God. He didn't shy away from asking to see Him and His glory. But even then, God had to place Moses in the cleft of the rock, in a narrow opening in the rock to hide him from a majority of his glory. He even had to stick his hand out to hide him even more from his glory so it didn't overpower him and consume him. It was going to be too much for any man to handle. No man was able to see God and live. Is what I just read. We can get more context of what John is saying here also from some of the things that John had picked up on while he spent time with Jesus. See, John captured the conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well, where she was concerned about worshiping the same God as the Jews and going to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. John 4:23. But the hour is coming and is now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus was the only one of the Godhead who took on a human body. He was the only one that came in the flesh. So we must recognize God as spirit as well. We must recognize the need to worship him in our spirit man. We're not going to be able to physically see God, at least not with this mortal body. We need to see God in our spirit man. God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. We know that God is love, and we have his spirit in us, that we must love as well. Verse 12 here in 1 John 4, the way it starts out almost seems like it's out of place, but it's pushing us back to look at and see how we reflect on what John mentions. Again, about love. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Once again, when I read scripture, my engineering brain goes straight to these conditional statements. The if-then statements. It says, if we love one another. It means it's conditional. It means that we have to make sure that we are doing that in order for the second part to be true. So it's saying that if we love one another, then God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. It's saying that if we keep loving, keep in the love that he is depositing in us, then we are conformed into his image, and we are confirmed that he is living in us. We are assured that he is indeed living in us. I think many of us have realized when we have something that's, there's only one explanation for that response, and that was God. We know that God was all over our response when we had it in love. Because the old me would have ripped their head off. The old me would have made their life difficult. But the old me doesn't love the way that God loves. The old me is dead. See, it's when we know that God's love is being perfected in us. Those of you who have been here in the whole study of 1 John might remember what we were talking about when we looked at the word perfect. How that word perfect sometimes is better translated, or how we might understand it more correctly, as mature. That God's love is becoming more mature in us. With God's presence, we're always going to have love residing in us. Even when something's not popular, but we have God, there is love. Even when it's correction, but when we have God, it's done in love. Whether we have, just like we were singing this morning with Waymaker, if there's a healing that's being manifest, or if there's some sickness or infirmity, either way, it doesn't change the fact that God still loves us. Continues in verse 13 here. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us. Because he has given us of his spirit. By his love, we know that. By his love, it's apparent that we reside in that relationship with him. By his love, he resides in us as well. Because he has freely given us of his spirit. Jesus went away so that he could send Holy Spirit to us. He's the one that was just like Jesus, his paraclete. Holy Spirit was sent back here to be with us. It's a great revelation when we realize that and embrace it. We are in Him, and He is in us. We're sealed into His likeness. We're made victorious by His image. But we also receive His fruit of the Spirit when we receive Him. We receive joy, peace, gentleness, and most certainly we receive His love. Without Holy Spirit, we cannot have Jesus abiding in us. It's all or nothing. Without Holy Spirit, we can't show God's love the way that God loves others. Without Holy Spirit, we cannot be called children of God. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Again, it's that link to being children of God. Thank God that He gives us the wonderful gift of His Spirit. Nothing else could come close to the way that God planned it. It's so great the way that God did this. John continues in verse 14 here. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. God doesn't want to be a silent partner in our lives. He's not just coming to us and not wanting to be known. Holy Spirit testifies through us. God speaks through His people. He's done it that way for years. There's only one way to a relationship with God, and that is through Jesus. Jesus had said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. It's important to realize and recognize that. Our spirit testifies that the Father sent the Son, that the Son is the Savior of the world. If we aren't able to confess this, we don't have a relationship with Him. We're not abiding in Him and Him in us. Every single one of us, when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, likely were led by somebody in a prayer that went along those lines. Probably not those exact words, but definitely something right along that same path. See, there's power in the words that come out of our mouths. There's something that our body lines up to our spirit when we have those words come out of our mouths. It says that I submit not only what's inside of me to God, but I submit the words that come out of my mouth to God as well. And the enemy, he hears those words and he's reminded that he is defeated. There's power in those spoken words. The words to confess here, if you look it up in the Greek, here's what it means. It means to profess, to declare openly, to speak out freely, and get this one, to profess oneself the worshiper of one. So we speak out freely that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is a part of the triune Godhead, that He wasn't just a man who walked this earth, but at the same time, we confess that He was a man that walked this earth. There's nothing that God can't do. Confessing is going all in. It's openly embracing that we are of God. It's not denying the love of the Father. Verse 16 continues here. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. For God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Just as much as confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, When we abide in love, we abide in God and God in us. This whole point that John was making was against that one of the false teachings of that time, which was the Gnosticism that we talked about at the beginning of the series. That the focus was on knowing who Jesus was. He continues to make that argument here in these verses. He's continuing to say that it's not enough to just know who he is or have knowledge of who Jesus is. It's to actually know him yourself, have that relationship with him yourself. Confessing Jesus and love go hand in hand. If we try to love without going all in for Jesus, the love is just never enough. When we confess who Jesus is, that he is who he says he is, but we don't have love, we're not sold out being of him. We need to have both love and truth daily in our lives. I find it interesting that John writes here that we have known and believed that the love of God. There's some traps that the enemy likes to set with God's love. The enemy likes to get us off track, even when God is loving us. The first one is doubting God's love. The enemy wants us to think that God doesn't really love us. That there's no way he could love someone like me. My past is nothing like that of the people who go to church. I did all these horrible things. Stuff that I know God doesn't approve of. They condemn themselves without accepting and believing God's love. But nothing could be further from the truth. The other trap the enemy likes to set is getting puffed up thinking we're more than what we actually are. That somehow God loves us more than others. That we're better than they are. No, God loves us all the same. God's love is for everyone. Whether or not God loves us is not dependent on us feeling that we are loved. But when we believe God's love, it opens new doors that God wants to open for us. God wants us to recognize his love despite our circumstances. He wants us to recognize his love so much that it's not enough just to know on it, but also to actually believe and stand firmly on his love. Paul understood and believed so much in God's love for us, he wrote in Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Then jumping down to 37, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." I can't think of anything that doesn't fall into that list that Paul just read off. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. God loves us. He loves us. He really, really loves us. And that enemy, he can't take any of that away from us. His tactics, none of that works on us. None of it can take it away. God's love is always there. It's always present in our relationship with him. When we reside in his love, when we abide in him, He is able to work more freely and do more works through us than we could ever imagine. John continues in verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. In verse 17 here, there's a few things that God reminded me as we're going through this in the text. That word perfected, remember that it means, it's more readily understood as matured. Love has been matured in us. It's done its work to the point that we're able to do something with it. That love gives us boldness in the day of judgment. One day, we will all be judged. We'll stand before God, and the books will be opened. We'll be accused of all the things that we've done in our life that we shouldn't have. We'll be accused of all the things we didn't do, and we should have also. But we recognize the love of the Father. We recognize that He sent our advocate that we talked about in chapter 2. He sent our advocate in love. We recognize that He sent Jesus for us. We have boldness because we believed and trusted His love. It's just like Paul said in Romans 8, that we are more than a conqueror. God's desire is not just for us to squeak through into heaven. It's not for us to just barely make it by. John is saying that we aren't going to just survive the day of judgment. We can have boldness in that day. Why? Because we embraced God's love today. We surrounded ourselves in His love. We immersed ourselves in His love. We're able to taste and see that the Lord is good because of His love. Our identity is in Christ. Christ is victorious. We are victorious in this world. Christ is righteous. We are righteous. Jesus is bold. We're able to be bold. All because we are abiding in Him. Hallelujah. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not made perfect in love. Fear and love cannot coexist. Fear says we're not certain of the outcome. Fear says that we're not going to make it. Fear involves torment. It's painful. Fear tears you down. But love builds you up. The enemy wants us to not recognize the love of God. He wants us to get in there. He wants to get in there and have us fear instead. But mature love will remove fear. When we're perfected in love, when we're matured in love, the fear, it must go. Love's there because of God. Love's there because of Holy Spirit, because of Jesus. There's a song that we sing here quite often from Oasis Worship. We invite the King in. There's a portions of that song that we sing and we claim and we stand on. Here's how some of those lyrics go. When the King comes in, there's no room for darkness. When the King comes in, there's no room for sickness. Death is defeated. Demons flee. All that happens when the King comes in. guess what? When the king comes in, fear must go as well. All because of his love. When he comes in with his love, and we know and we believe his love, when we're matured in love, all that must flee. Many of you know the next verse that I'm going to say by heart, but it'll be up on the screen. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and what? Love and of a sound mind. Love is of God. Fear is not. Holy Spirit empowers us. He doesn't leave us as wimps. Allow God's love to work through us. He drives out the fear that the enemy wants to throw our way. Allow his love to flow. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. God loved us even before we knew him. He loves each and every person whose life is full of sin still and hasn't come to him yet. He loves each of them already, just like he loved us before we ever accepted him as our Savior, before we entered into that relationship with him. He loves no matter what. His love looks past any conditions. It's truly unconditional. And it's because of that type of love we choose to love him back. 1 John 4, verse 20. Now if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. John continues to show us that this agape love, the unconditional love, that if God loves someone and his love is in us, if we're abiding in his love, hate cannot flow out of us. It makes us a liar if we operate in hate, but say we have in love. If we profess his love but act a different way, it doesn't work. This is the commandment that we have from Jesus, to love others the way that he loves us. It's where our outward works must line up with our hearts. The actions reflect the nature of our heart. Give grace and forgive one another. Today is Mother's Day. I'm sure many of you are heading from here to go to a family gathering. Give grace to each other. Release some of the stuff that you've turned over to God. Don't try to hang on to it. Let God's love flow through your family, even if some of them are not professing a relationship with God. Continue on to 1 John 5 and verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot love, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Chapter 5 starts out with some reassurance that John has been saying all throughout this book. When we believe that Jesus was God's only Son and we love him, we are expected to love others who also say that they love him. Unity among the brethren is powerful. That's why the enemy wants to try to destroy it. It's why he throws church splits in there. He tries to get us arguing amongst ourselves and people to look at us and go, why would I want to be a part of that when they can't even get along? But when we love God, everything we do flows out of that relationship with Him. And then none of it seems difficult when it's done out of love. When we love God, it's easy to keep His commandments. His commandments all hang on love anyway. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love others as you love yourselves. Love others the way Jesus has loved us. Every law hangs on it. It's how God designed it. When we love, we are born a child of God. When we love, God is present. Hallelujah. Anything that's born of God overcomes the world. And we overcome the world through Him. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Our faith in Jesus is what overcomes. We point it all back to Him. We point it all back to Him and give Him the glory. I'm looking at a room full of overcomers this morning. God is worthy of our love. He deserves our love. And our actions should line up to His love, showing it back to others. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for Your love. Lord, help us recognize and embrace Your love. Lord, help us live in Your love. Lord, help us be aware at all times of Your love, God. Lord, we thank You that You loved us unconditionally. Lord, that You loved us even before we realized who You are. Lord, we thank You for continuing to pursue us, Lord, even when it seemed bleak that we would ever say yes to You, God, but You knew what it would take. You knew how it was that we were going to say yes to You. Lord, we pray for Your love to be recognized by others as well. Lord, whatever it is that You want in their lives, God, let it be so. Lord, let Your love flow that people know that You love them. Lord, despite their circumstances, despite what they have going on, God, let them have an awareness that You love them. We thank You for that love. We thank You that You are who You are, Jesus. We praise You. We thank You for Your faithfulness, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.